Today we're going to be launching a brand new series. We're going to be starting another series, and it's entitled All In for God. All In for God. Now, when God gave me the title for this series, obviously we're talking about love, that's our overall theme. When God gave me the title for this series, He gave me a prophetic picture. And He gave me a picture that I really hope is going to captivate your hearts and maybe speak prophetically to keep you focused on what God wants to do in this season. This is just a mini series. It's probably a three-part series that we're going to do, All In for God. But in this series, I really believe that God wants to do something significant for us as a people. So I want you to catch this. So if you don't remember anything that I'm going to preach in this series, I hope that the picture that God gave me is going to stay with you for the rest of the year and even for the rest of your life, because this is going to change your life. I don't know if you have watched or seen some of those crazy people who go around the world looking for cliffs to jump off. You know, there's a group of people, they really are crazy. They need Jesus. But you know, they go around from nation to nation looking for cliffs to jump off. Now I'm not one of those that pastors that love to stereotype people, but I just want to put it out there because I feel this strongly in my spirit. You don't see too many black folk jumping off a cliff for no apparent reason. I'm just saying. I know. Maybe there's some black brothers that are here that are that crazy. But I just want to say, you don't see us jumping off a cliff into deep dark waters for no apparent reason, and call that fun. You know, when God gave me this picture, it meant a lot to me, and if we're to just zoom into the background, you know, God has got a way of using everything that you go through to speak to you. So when God gave me this picture, quickly, I remembered a time when I went to the Vic Falls. You know, when as your pastor, I'm a spiritual man, and I used to go around saying I'm not afraid of anything, you know. And that was me. I'm like, yeah, whatever, I will do it. I'm full of the Holy Spirit, until I went to the Victoria Falls and I was standing on the bridge and I looked down. So my friends had paid for me to do bungee jumping. And so I thought, yeah, I'm full of the Spirit. Nothing, you know, when they told me about it, I'm like, game on, let's do this. So we paid, we registered, and we got there. We jumped onto our bus, and they took us to no man's land. That's where it is in between Zambia and Zimbabwe, no man's land. And we are there, and I'm waiting for my turn. My friends went, and it's my turn, and I stepped forward. I looked down 111 meters. Down, I froze. I froze. I could not move. Now, what they normally do, because they tell you that there is no refund, so if you get there, if you're not going to jump, they're going to push you over. So in my mind, when I froze, I knew that they were going to push me. But somehow I released in a deep anointed voice a cry that no one touched me. It was so anointed, you need to get this, it was so anointed that when I shouted no, I yelled no, don't push me, the guys really listened to me. And they didn't push me. Now before you start calling me a chicken, Jesus, you know, pastors have to come up with scriptures to back themselves up. Jesus was taken up a cliff somewhere by the devil, and the devil said, you must jump. And he said, get thee behind me, devil. And I tell you, that moment, yeah, jokes aside, when God gave me this picture, because of the story I just told you, I felt as if the Lord was saying to me, Justin, it's time to jump off that bridge spiritually. I said, God, don't send me back to Victoria Falls for that bungee thing. It's for crazy people. I know you dive, you jump into waters with sharks. I'm like, whoa. I know you've done bungee. And you see, and there's a lady sitting right here that jumped off a bridge for bungee. And I'm like, okay. All right. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not called for that kind of stuff. But anyway, I felt in my spirit God saying to me, it really gripped my heart because God said to me, Justin, it's time to jump off that bridge. It's time to jump off that bridge. And I felt as if the Lord said to me, I want you to go all in for me. And he said to me, this time, I don't want them to strap, because I remember I had been strapped. The cord was attached. Everything was there. They just needed to push me. But by the grace of God, they did not. I would have been dead. But I did not. And God said, this time around, the picture that he gave me, he says, there's no strings attached. I just want you to trust me. In the spirit, I want you to trust me. And I want you to jump. And this was so significant for me, because in my spirit I could see myself those many years back as I was standing on the edge of that bridge and could not do it, even with a cord. And God is saying, now with no cord, I want you to jump. And I want you to trust me. So I had this in my mind, and I started working through the series and looking for an image to capture this. And I saw this, but I want to show you an opener, a clip that is going to, I hope, speak to you about what God is calling us to do in this season. Help me, guys. Let's throw this clip.
When Jesus was asked to sum up the whole Bible, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." When Jesus was asked to sum up the whole Bible, he said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength." But what do they mean? What does it mean to love God with all your soul? What does loving God with all your strength look like? When we do, we become capable of being everything He designed us to be. God hasn't held anything back from us. Isn't it time we declare, "I will love God with all of me"?
It looks easy, but in the full clip, he has to position himself. You could hear his heartbeat. And he knows that this is serious stuff. I have to trust that I am not going to land on a rock. That he's not going to allow my foot to dash against a stone. I have to trust that when I get off this edge, He's got me. And he had to jump off without any cords. That's not bungee. He's just, and that was like, what, 58 meters? But he's just jumping off and trusting. And trusting that I'll make it. And I felt the Lord say, word of truth, Justin, I want you to stand on the edge, and I want you to go all in. You see, when he jumps, he's got no second, he's not doubting himself, he's got no second thoughts, he's not guessing. He just knows that when it's time to jump, I'm not going to think of jumping and then pull back because now I'm going to hit a stone. He knows that when the moment comes, I'm just going to trust and I'm going to let go. And the Lord said to me, many of us are missing the mark, not because we don't want to, but because we're doing it half-heartedly. We've got all sorts of thoughts. We give part. You can't be half committed when you're doing this kind of stuff. It's got to be all in. Or otherwise, don't go there. Don't even get there. Because it's death if you're not all in. And so we have this overall theme that this year we need to love God, we need to love our neighbors. And we looked at it already that God is expecting us to love our neighbors out of loving Him. We first love Him. And He said, I want you to love me with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. He's saying that I don't want you to do this half-heartedly. The emphasis is all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your mind. I want you to be fully committed. I want you to put it all in. Another version says, with all of your might. So He said, take everything, take every part of you. And I want you to stand out there and say, God, I'm giving you all. I'm not reserving any part. There's nothing that I'm holding back. And I have a sense this morning that God is challenging you as He's challenging me to stop holding back. For too long, the church has been holding back. We are only playing it safe. We only do so much and we hold back and we say, I can't do everything. But God is saying the days of holding back are over. I want you to get on that edge and I want you to give me your all. Says, I want all of it. Let's read Matthew chapter number 22 from the Passion Translation. I know we have covered this scripture, but I want to shed new light on it. Matthew 22 and verse 35 says, then one of them, a religious scholar, posed this question to test Him. Teacher, which commandment is in the law is the greatest? And Jesus answered him, love the Lord your God with every passion of your heart. Every passion. Not part. Every passion. I want you to be passionately in love with me. I want you to give your all with every passion of your heart, with all the energy of your being, and with every thought that is within you. It's like I want everything, even your thoughts as you are sitting right now, I want those thoughts to be channeled towards loving me. So your thoughts as you are listening to me, God is saying when you are all in, you're not thinking about when is He going to get done and go home. You're like, God, I'm all in right now. Whatever it takes, speak to me, God. Your thoughts must be aligned with the love that you profess for God. And He says to Him, verse 38, He says, this is the great and supreme commandment. And the second is like it in importance. You must love your friend or your neighbor in the same way you love yourself. And listen to this. He says, contained within these commandments to love, you will find all the meaning of the law and the prophets. I want you to understand what Jesus is saying to us here. He is saying that He's not interested, number one, in half-hearted commitment from you. He's not interested in half-hearted love, in loose devotion. He's not interested in partial obedience. And those are the three things that we're going to be talking about in this series. It's like, I'm not wanting you to be just like half-heartedly in love. Like, there's no passion. I love Jesus, but it's just in J. It's just there. Nothing. There's no fire burning. No one can see that you're in love. You know, maybe some of you have forgotten, but for the youngsters, when you fall in love, it doesn't take much for people around you to know that, there's something happening here. Because all of a sudden you just go crazy. You lose yourself. And it's... Don't make me preach right there. Don't make me preach right there. And you lose your mind. You just like, it's like there's passion, there's fire that everybody can see. And yet now you say you love God, and when we look at you, it's like you serve a dead God. You come to church like it's like you've attended a funeral of some sort. Our faces are sour in the house of God. It's like you've been forced. Like, did somebody drag you to church this morning? There's no more passion. And so God says, I want you to renew that passion. I want you to love me with all. Not part, all. And he says, contained in this commandment to love God. This is, I love this. He says, contained in this commandment is the understanding of the rest of the scriptures. Contained in these commandments to love, you are going to find the meaning of the law and the prophets. In other words, the Bible will not make sense to you, or there are some things in the Bible that will not make sense to you unless you love God with all your heart. Don't make me come close to you, because there are some commandments that you're not obeying because you don't love God with all your heart. You kind of like, God, no, we're not going to go there. That I'm not going to do. I know it's in the Bible, but I'm only human. Because you still have some reservations, you're not willing to go all the way for God. You see, for Abraham, when God says, I want you to sacrifice your son Isaac, your only begotten son, it does not make sense. But contained in the instruction is the love of God that makes the commandment make sense. Without the love of God, it's like, what crazy stuff is this God talking about? You know, there are some of you, even when we speak about, just being involved, serving in church, like, no, I don't have to serve. Because even though the Bible says you must serve, and we're going to talk about this, you don't take it serious because half-hearted commitment, half-hearted love for God. You know, when those days when you gave your life to Jesus, giving your life to Jesus was synonymous with serving God. When I got saved, you couldn't say I'm a Christian and go to church and sit in the pews. Brother, you gotta be serving the Lord. And serving the Lord was not something we say, it was something we do. Nowadays, people say, I serve God, I serve God. You never see them doing anything. I serve God in my mind, I serve God in my dreams, I serve God. Where are you serving God? I'm not upset, but I'm not going to apologize for passion anymore. Because God said, I want all of your passion. He says, Justin, I want you to stand on the edge and I want you to jump off. Forget. I might get a little excited. I might get a little loud. But I'm not interested about what you think about that. I want to be on fire for Jesus. And I want my passion for Jesus to be evident. I'm no longer holding back and saying, oh yeah, it's too much. People get uncomfortable when you get so excited, Justin. God is saying, I want all of your passion. You see, the people have become so cold in church that we begin to accommodate cold Christians. There was a time when you went to church, everybody will be jumping. The pastor is preaching. Another sister is jumping around, running around, and you think they're demon possessed. No, they're just on fire for Jesus. Nowadays, if somebody even says amen or claps their hands, you look at them weird. Like, what's the matter with you? Get some decorum in this place. Forget decorum. You need to be passionate for Jesus. That when people look at you, when the unbelievers come into church, they must see you burning for Jesus. You go to a rugby match, the same people that are in church saying you need some decorum, they half tear in their t-shirts and they want to jump at you. Because they are passionate about their teams. They go all in. You know, when they go and watch that game, they go and look for the most expensive, good-looking Springbok jersey, put it on, paint their faces. The same brother that says, yeah, you know, we need to be cool, come and collect it. It's not in our culture. You see them on television, painted, screaming, top of their voice for rugby. Their passion for rugby is evident. Their passion for the things of the world is evident. You don't have to ask. You're just looking like, man, that person, we know they're passionate about. And I'm not saying don't be passionate about those things. But I'm saying bring your passion for Jesus. And the passion of Jesus must be seen in all those things that he's asking you to do anyway. That when you're screaming for... When you're screaming, you know, what I love about Pastor Dave, when he started speaking, when he said this, I knew it was going to end up with, he said something about salvation, because that's how he lived his life. I know him. And he's so passionate. You cannot be in his presence and he'll fail to tell you about Jesus. He's passionate about Jesus, that even if you're doing a census, he's going to ask you, excuse me, can I just tell you what I get excited about? You might be excited about counting things and whatever the numbers, but I get excited about Jesus. I love that about you. Doesn't matter where he is, he's looking for an opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus. That's his passion. We get passionate about politics, that when we jump onto a bus, we jump onto a plane, we speak about politics with so much passion, we don't even remember to talk about Jesus. Because our love for Jesus is half-hearted. Jesus says, you need to get to that edge this morning and give me your all. Stop holding back. Stop withholding parts of you. Justin, stop withholding your passion. Go crazy if you want to go crazy. John Wesley said this, the reason why John Wesley moved in the power of God and there was revival. Do you know what he said? He said, I light myself up. I set myself on fire and people come to see me burn. That's all I do. It's not about trying to tickle people. I set myself on fire. And when you read his autobiography, many came to know Jesus because he was not apologizing about being on fire for God. You know, John the Baptist was such a man. They kicked him out of the town. They kicked him out of their churches. They kicked him and they sent him into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, he went crazy by himself. The Bible calls him a voice that is crying in the wilderness. He says, you can take me out of your church, but you cannot silence me. I will preach to trees. I will preach to the sand. I will preach to stones. I will be a voice that is forever crying in the wilderness. And guess what? Because he did not stop crying, people left their palaces and they went to the wilderness to hear crazy John. He was all in. He was all in. It's like I'm not looking for recognition. I'm just all in for Jesus. If you don't give me a pulpit, I will start another service at the end of the meeting outside in the car park. And I will burn for Jesus. And whoever wants to see me burn will gather. Where is your passion for Jesus? Where is your passion for Jesus? You see, it's easy to say, I love God with all my heart. And Jesus said, if you love me with all your heart, all of your passion must be given to me. You need to become passionate. You see, if we come to church and we get excited about the word of God, when God is speaking and there's amens, there's shouting, there's hallelujah, praise God, going deeper, we just begin to go deeper and deeper in the things of the Spirit. But we come and we pour cold water on anyone who's got any form of a spark in them. We've got fire extinguishers ready. The moment somebody gets a little bit too much, you come and you tap them on the shoulder. Like, brother, it's okay now. They haven't even started burning. But it's like, that's enough. And God says, I want you to go all in. When you love God with all your heart, your passion will be obvious. Your passion will be obvious. People will just say, there's a person that loves God. You don't have to say a word. They'll just know you love God. You see, there's a difference between doing things for the Lord and doing things with passion. It's a difference, and we're going to get there. Let me read the scriptures. Romans 12. Listen to this. Paul is talking about love, and he says, let love be without hypocrisy. Let your love be genuine. Genuine love. So he's about to tell you what genuine love looks like. And he says, this is how it looks like. You abhor what is evil. You hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. You outdo one another in showing honor. We've already covered these things, haven't we? We've already covered this. We did a long series from 1 Corinthians 13, and it's challenging us to do all these things. And we've already covered, but here is the one we didn't talk about and the one that I want to focus on in this message. Verse 11, he says, do not be slothful in zeal. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit as you are serving the Lord. So genuine love is not slothful. Tell your neighbor, don't be slothful. Yeah, I know it sounds a little bit offensive, but it's a Bible. That's Bible right there. Don't be slothful, because genuine love is not slothful. It is fervent in spirit, and that fervency is seen in the way you serve the Lord. Serve is not in your mind, it's what you do. So, for some of us, we claim to love God, but we don't even serve anyway. So, if you're not serving anyway, it's just an indication that maybe your love for the Lord needs to be checked again. I didn't say it, Paul did. He says, genuine love is not slothful, it is fervent in serving the Lord, a doing word. We get excited. I remember when I gave the Lord my heart to the Lord, many people, the youngsters often ask me, how do you know all these things that you do? Man, I did anything and everything in the church that I was a part of. I played guitar, not because I was coming from a musical family. It was, that is what they need, and brother, I'm here to serve the Lord. I played bass, I love playing bass, that's my favorite instrument, but that wasn't by design. Our bassist left and went to the UK. And I'm like, brother, I'm here to serve the Lord, show me what to do. And I later discovered I love bass. But it was out of the passion to serve that I learned things. Way before we had digital screens and all these things, I learned how to take those transparent papers and put them on the overhead projector, that light thing. And I did it with passion. I didn't just show up and say, it's just taking this thing and put it there. So when I tell the guys behind there, we need to have some form of excellence and we need to do this thing, there's nothing that I can do behind there, because I want to serve God. Not because I want to know it all. I just want to serve God. Just because in the event that you don't show up, I'm willing to serve God. Now people don't like, I don't even want to know how these things work. That's how I knew things in ministry. Even the first time I preached, it was like our youth pastor was saying, you know what, I need a break, I really need it, and I think you need to. I'm like, okay. I'm glad they didn't record that one, because, hey, I thought I'll never preach again, I thought I'll never speak again, but I was willing. There is a revival that will break out in your life the moment you said, God, I said yes to serving you, not serving self. Many of us are serving ourselves. Oh, brother, you don't know how busy I am. You know how to serve yourself well, but you don't know how to serve the Lord. I'm just saying it the way it is, because when it comes to your work, when it comes to doing your stuff, oh, you know when to do what and how to do it. But when it comes to the things of the Lord, all of a sudden we become dumb. And like, how do you do this? How do you do it at home? Serving the Lord. But that's not what he's even talking about. He's talking about serving the Lord with fervency. Not just serving the Lord, because you can say, well, the pastor is guilt-tripping us. He's making us want to feel bad about just doing nothing, so I'm going to serve. And when you're there, you've got a long face, and you're kind of just doing things half-heartedly. And God says, I don't want that. I want you to jump all in. That if you get me behind that camera, I promise you, I'm in. I'm not serving while I'm thinking of other things. I'm all in. If you put me on stage to sing, to play, to sweep, to arrange the chairs, to wash the toilets, wherever you put me, I'm all in for Jesus. We cannot see the revival that we want if we are holding back. Holding back. I can only do so much. You need to get excited about serving God. Now, the word slothful means to be lethargic. It means to be lazy. It means to be jaded. It means to be dull. It means to be boring. It means to lack enthusiasm. It means to lack purpose. It means that you lack life. Quite honestly, you're just dead. And that's what slothful means. It's like, You have stopped caring about the things of the Lord. Like, it doesn't matter. Somebody will do it. And if you do it, like, yeah, somebody else will perfect it. Stopped caring. Stopped caring about the things of the Lord. You're no longer on fire for the things of the Lord. And Paul gives us the opposite. And he says, be fervent. The word fervent speaks, obviously, it's the opposite of being slothful in this context. And he's talking about being full of life, full of energy. This word fervency is speaking literally or figuratively. He's, in his mind, he's thinking of boiling over. Like you don't boil something if there's no fire. There has to be so much fire in you that you start bubbling for Jesus. That's the image that he's got when he's writing. Be fervent in spirit. Let your spirit be bubbling. Like I knew even before you got to his punchline. I saw you getting excited even as you're trying to find your words. I was getting excited in my spirit because I knew that David's going for his punchline. Somebody gave their life to Jesus. It's like fire. Jeremiah says it's like fire shut up in my bones. You may not see it, but inside me there's this thing that is like I'm all of a sudden I just start boiling. And that's what we need in the church again. When you're sitting in church, you're boiling for Jesus. Like I can't wait for you to get to the punchline. I'm really excited. You shout amen. You get excited, and when people come in and they see you passionate about the things of God, they're asking, what's the big deal? Like, brother, this is the big deal. This is better than rugby. This is better than the World Cup. This is better than tennis, Justin. This is better than anything else the world that has to offer. This is life. And so when you come and you see me becoming undignified for God, this is life. This is what I'm called to do. To be on fire for God. And maybe as I'm speaking to you, when you check your life, you're like, no, I'm not bubbling. I'm not boiling over. Maybe your experience is more like what Paul says about being slothful. Maybe you've become jaded. Maybe you've got low energy right now. Like I used to get excited And some of you, maybe in your older age, you see me jumping up and down like, oh, wait until you get to my age. When you say that, I look at Pastor Dave, I'm like, the man is still on fire for Jesus. It doesn't matter what I've gone through, there's still something that is burning inside of me. So I'm like, okay, yeah. When you say, wait until my age, I look for somebody who's your age or older. And I'm like, I see somebody who has maintained the fire. That's what I want. I look at Billy Graham. I look at the revivalists of old. Those guys were practically saying, I will die preaching. Because I'm passionate about this. I'm not being forced. Paul says that for me to preach the gospel, it's not like out of force or cohesion. It's like, this is life for me. War unto me if I don't preach the gospel. That's how passionate he was for Jesus. So maybe you're sitting there and you're like, yeah, I used to be there. And you're saying, but Pastor, how do I come back to that place where I'm on fire for Jesus, where I'm boiling over for Jesus? And I want to speak to you in 8 minutes and just help you to renew your passion for Jesus. Because that's what it's all about. If you renew that passion, I promise you, revival breaks out wherever you are. When that passion is renewed, you can be in a wilderness and people will come find you in the wilderness. Because you're just burning. You're burning for Jesus. You see, everybody is waiting for somebody to appoint them to do something. No, you don't need a position. You need passion. And quite honestly, when I look at my life, most of the things that have happened is not because I'm more educated or I'm more trained or more experienced. It's just because I've got passion. There are doors that have opened for me in life. Not because I'm better than everybody else that is around me, but just because I've got passion. So if you give me half a chance to do something for the kingdom of God, I'm not going to do it half-heartedly. There might be somebody who can do it 10 times better sitting there. But I promise you, when I'm doing it with my all. I'm not like, I'm just waiting until they find somebody. I give it my all. I don't consider, when I speak to guys, I don't consider myself the best of musicians. But when I'm playing, I promise you, there is no part of me that is like, you know, what if and what, I'm all in for Jesus. And God is saying we need to be all in every aspect of serving God. And so how do we do this? Jesus says the key is falling in love with him. He doesn't say you need to pray. Prayer is good. He says you need to love me with all. The key is loving God with your all. If you start loving God all in, there's nothing that he will ask you to do that he will say no to. Because you've already given him your all. You're not sitting there and saying, you're like, God, I've already given you. My life is already surrendered to you. You are Lord. You are Master. You are King. You can do anything you want with my life. And because I know you love me, you see, there are some people that you know, they might be your boss and they might be good-hearted, but hey, there's like, you're not sure if they love you. You cannot go all in when you don't know how much you're loved. So Jesus is saying, I went all in. We just came out of Easter. Jesus didn't hang on the cross half-heartedly, it's like, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this properly. I'm jumping all in. He didn't say, you know, who was speaking? Who spoke about this idea? He didn't come in an age where, you know, there's a lethal injection. That was Putty on the Wednesday talking about. He's like, you know, Jesus, God is sovereign. He could have come in any time frame. He chose the most cruelest, the time where death was at its cruelest. Like there's not another time that people were being crucified like that or killed like that. He chose the era of crucifixion. He could have come now where they could just put you on an electric chair, just give you a lethal injection and it's over. But he said, no, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to make sure that I do it right. I'm going to go all in. They can do whatever they want, but because I love you, I will give my all. The last drop of blood, I'll give it for you because I love you. So somebody's getting it. That's good. That's passion. Like, I get it. God was willing to let the last drop of blood just because he loves you. It's like, I will give my all. I'm not reserving something to say, you know, I've given enough. You know, they've already put a crown of thorns. They've already pierced my hands. They've already pierced. I will give my all. They must pierce my side, water, blood, everything. Because I love you with my all. I don't love you half-heartedly. And that's Easter for you. So because he did it, he's saying, guys, I expect you to get on that edge and say, man, in view, this is what Paul says in Romans, in view of the mercies of God, in view of how he has already loved us, in view of all he has done for us, we've got no option. We just have to stand there and say, well, you did it all. And I'm going to trust you that you're going to be good anyway. And you're going to jump off. Now he says, fall in love with me. He didn't say start fasting and prayer, which all those things are good. He says, no, fall in love with me. If fasting and prayer is a way of getting you to fall in love with God, so be it. But he says, I'm not asking you to do stuff. I'm more asking you to love me. He says, I'm just asking you to love me. Because if you really love me, I know you'll obey my commandments. You'll be devoted to me. You will do whatever that needs to be done, whenever it needs to be done, if you love me. And he says, hey, not if you love me half-heartedly, because some of us, we love God, and we really do. But we're still reserving certain parts, like, God, no, that's too far. I love you, but this far. But God is saying, go all in, Justin. Jump. You see, once you jump off, you can't jump back. That guy, the moment he left the bed, you've got no control anymore. And that's what God is trying to get into our hearts. He says, guys, if you just get yourself to love me, that's the jump. If you just get yourself to love me, that's not 58 meters, okay? But if you can just, but the principle is the same. The moment I jump, I cannot go back. Gravity takes over. It's now I'm in the head. I'm in another realm. The law of gravity has to take over. And when you jump spiritually, you go into the realm of the spirit. And now you are operating in another realm altogether. When they are telling you natural laws of why it cannot be done, you say, but it doesn't apply anymore because I'm in the air. I'm already in another dimension. And this dimension operates differently. And you can only access this dimension when you love me with all your heart. When you don't hold back, when you give your all, you are now in my hands. And I will have to do what I said I will do. Because you now have no control of it anymore. And he says, love me. Revelations 2, as I prepare to close. Revelations 2, a familiar portion of scripture. I know your works, your toil, your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and they are not, and you have found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and I know that you have not grown weary, but I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Your first love, your passionate commitment to loving me. You have abandoned that. You see, history proves that when life gets hard, our passion for God diminishes. It's true of the children of Israel. It's true of you. It's true of me. When you get busy, when COVID is at its peak, and you're fighting to just feed your kids, and you're fighting to keep things going, you've got no time for God. The first things that you start, it's like, well, that can go. We can leave that aside. Let me just deal with me now. That's what history has proven. We all do that, including me. It's like it's just the natural thing to do. But the problem is, if we continue like this, we think we are fine, but we're not. And that's the problem with the church at Ephesus. They thought they were fine. They thought everything is good. But Jesus looked at them and said, hey, I've got one thing against you. You still love me, but not the way you loved me at first. And I don't know about you, if you think of your first love for Jesus. My first love for Jesus, I was a street evangelist. I don't know when last I did that. Now I'm too important. I have to sit in an office somewhere and you have to make an appointment to come see me so that I can tell you about Jesus. But when I got saved, I would go the street corners. True story. And I would just wait for somebody that is willing to hear me preach about Jesus. And I would go on a long walk with them, just trying to convince them that Jesus Christ is real. It's first love. It's like you sit at home and you feel like something is wrong. My first love, by that season, I pretty much lived in church. Like, if they told me there's a prayer meeting and I'm at home and I'm doing nothing, I feel like something is wrong. Why am I not in the prayer meeting and I'm in the prayer meeting and I'm just serving? And I know some of the theology was wrong. We thought works got us better to Christians. It's not that. It's just the passion. It's the passion. God loves you unconditionally. You can sit and do nothing. God loves you. You will have your place in heaven. But you'll not advance the kingdom of God. And you will not see the deep things of God in and through your life. Why? Because you are not just passionate about the things of God. So this is not like you're not a good Christian when you're not doing stuff for the kingdom. That's just not what I'm saying. God loves you the way you are. He loves you unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do or not do that will make him love you anymore. But I want to say to you, if you want to see the deep things of God, if you want to spark a revival around you, if you want to live a life that people will be coming and saying, wow, you have to jump off. No more reservations. I'm going all in. So he says, I have this against you. You have left your first love. You abandoned it. And maybe you are sitting here and like me, you feel like you've abandoned your first love. You feel like you're no longer doing the things that you used to do. You feel like your relationship with Jesus is on your terms now. It's like it's just casual. Jesus understands. God understands. That's a favorite Bible verse for most Christians. God understands. I don't know where you've read it, but I know you found it. You found it. I'm still looking for it, but I know every Christian quotes this verse. I don't know from which book, but it's God understands. He understands. I'm like, okay. There's a scene in Chosen. I don't know if you've watched the series, The Chosen. I love this scene. Maybe one day I will play it for you, for those who have not watched it. But John meets Jesus. And John has been John. He's been crazy. Everybody's talking. John the Baptist. Yeah, so John the Baptist meets Jesus, and Jesus is coming from a town, and John is going in to go tell Herod. He's on his way to go back into Jerusalem. Jesus is going out of Jerusalem. John is going into Jerusalem. And when he meets Jesus, he's like to Jesus, hey, did you hear? I'm going to Jerusalem. Did you hear the news? Jesus is like, what news? We're coming from Jerusalem. He's like, Herod has just married his brother's ex-wife, and I'm going there to sort him out. Like, ooh. Jesus says to John, you're crazy. You know the kind of stuff that you want to do? This is the stuff that gets you killed. John says to Jesus, I think this is what life is all about, is it not? Is not this why we came? And he even starts saying to Jesus, the way you are living your life, you are also heading the same path to die. And in that scene, all I see is two passionate people that are saying, whatever comes our way, we will do this kingdom stuff. If they throw us in prison, if they behead us, if they crucify us, it doesn't matter. And I'm like, how many people have friends that when you say, I want to go crazy for Jesus, they're like, man, this is it. Like, just go all the way. They pep you up to go all the way, to jump all in. But nowadays, they will tell you, maybe you're going too far now. Maybe you're losing your mind now. You know, this church thing, you know, it's okay, but you're going too far. And they are Christians. But God is wanting you to jump all in. So here's what he says. I want you to go back to your first love. Let me, I'm going to make three statements and I'm going to pray for you. If you are more passionate for the things of the world than you are for the things of God, your love for God has grown cold. I'm just going to put it out there. It has grown cold. He says, I want all your passion. So if you are more passionate, I'm not saying don't be passionate about things. I'm passionate about my work. I'm passionate about things that I do. I'm passionate about my wife. I'm passionate. But if your passion for the things of the world is greater than your passion for Jesus, it's time to say, God, renew my passion for you. I've seen your passion, Jesus, on the cross. Renew my passion for you. 1 John 2:15 says, do not love the world or the things in this world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Passion Translation, if anyone passionately loves the world, the passion for the Lord is not in him. If you're more passionate about the things of the world, then your passion for Jesus is low. And here's what I want you to understand. How do you get it? How do you get it? Because you're like, Pastor, you can't leave us here. And I'm going to be quick as I conclude this. How do you get it? He says you need to fall in love with me again. You see, we cannot love God more than he has already loved us. John says, by this we know. Rather, he says, we love him because he first loved us. So our love for God, our unconditional love for God is in response to his unconditional love for us. So when you realize that he loves you with all his heart, with his all, it's easy for you to give your all. So it's not about what you need to do. Start with, how much does he love me? With his all. And when that revelation, when you receive all of his heart, all of his love, your heart responds by giving him your all. When you're more passionate about the things of the world, you're still caught up. Moses was there. Hebrews 11 tells us Moses had to forsake the pleasures of this world to follow Jesus. Some of us need to do that right now. We need to just say, God, I'm forsaking certain things. I'm more passionate about these things, but I'm forsaking them for the sake of going closer to you. And I want to end with verse 5 of Revelation 2. It says, Remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the first works. How do you restore passion? Not sitting, not thinking about it, not meditating. Because you see, after a message like this, all of us are going to say, yeah, that's good stuff. Let me think about it. Let me meditate on this word. Let me research some more. Jesus says that's not going to restore your first love. It's not going to do anything for you. He says what's going to do something for you is when you get up and you start doing your first works. You don't pray yourself back into passion, you practice passion. If I haven't played, somebody got it. I haven't played the electric guitar. Like, I can play pretty much, apart from there, I'm still learning. Craig and Give More need to teach me. I can play pretty much any instrument here. Not good at it, but I can play. Why? Because when I'm so passionate that when I went to a band practice, when the other person is playing and they do something that I like, I'm like, what is that? How do you do that? That's not my line. I play acoustic, I play electric. I haven't played electric guitar in a long time. Somebody was asking, when are you going to play electric guitar? You know, I'm not as passionate about playing that guitar now. But do you know what's going to restore the passion? It's not me sitting there and saying, yeah, you know, one day I'm going to play the electric. If I pick up the electric guitar and they will have to kind of tell me that I'm here to work, because every minute I'll come here and all of a sudden it takes over and I'm excited again, because practice is what restores passion. If you're a writer and you have not written anything, don't pray about it, don't think about it. Pick up your pen, start writing. If you're a preacher and you have not preached, don't pray about it, don't think about it. Go out and start preaching. If you're an evangelist and you have not told anyone about Jesus, don't think about it. Just go out and tell somebody. Do your first works. What is it that you used to do for Jesus that you're no longer doing? That's what is going to restore your passion. Oh yeah, I used to be in every prayer meeting. Used to be is not going to revive you. Get back into the prayer meeting. Oh, I never used to miss a church meeting. Used to is not going to revive you. If you get back, all of a sudden you're going to be on fire. And suddenly you're now like, my goodness, man, I can't wait to go to the church meeting. I can't wait to go for prayer meeting. Why? You're practicing it. Not talking about it, not praying about it, not meditating. He says, go and do. Repent and do. Repent and do. Let's stand. Repent and do, church. That's what's going to renew your passion. It's doing. The church is caught up in this world of, I don't know, meditation, stupor, slumber. We've become slothful, lethargic, jaded. We know these things need to be done, but it's like, yeah, one day. And the only way we can get over this is to start doing. Start doing. I felt strongly the Lord say to me, Justin, if Word of Truth would stand on that edge and jump, there is no telling what I'm going to do in and through this community. You haven't seen yet what it would look like when people are all in for God. When people are all in for God, the impossible becomes possible. When you are all in, you obey instructions that may even be silly. Mary says to the disciples, whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Just be all in. Don't oppose him. The worship team is coming forward. Don't oppose him. Don't oppose him. If he says, just do it. Just do it. When you are all in, water turns into wine. When you are all in. But if you're half-hearted, it's like, no, Jesus, must we put water? No. Maybe you're not understanding the problem. No, he's not asking you to analyze the problem. He just says, fill the jars with water. And when you're all in, ordinary water becomes something extraordinary. This word becomes extraordinary when you're all in. If you walk out of this building and decide that, you know what, I'm going all in for Jesus, this message is going to mean so much more to you than anyone else that is still meditating on it. All in is in the actions that we take. I want to pray. But I really felt the Lord say, Justin, go all in. If you are here and you're saying, I heard this word, I want to renew my passion. I want to renew my passion. I want you to come forward. Just want you to step forward and just say, this is me. I'm going all in. I've been holding back. I've not been giving God every aspect of me. And today, I just want to do it. I know I could have layered it, but you know what? This is doing. The Lord said somebody has to get to the edge and just jump off. We could layer it and softly draw you out, but that's not what is required to jump off the bridge. You're not going to jump you're going to be like Justin. You're waiting for somebody to push you over. And that's dangerous because you never know what could happen if I push you over. I don't want you to come because I'm pushing you over. I want you to come because you're saying, Pastor Justin, I heard the word and I want to get on that edge and just jump in and say, I'm going all in. Thank you, Father. It's okay. It's your decision. It's got nothing to do with anybody else. It's your decision. Just say, God, I'm doing this for you. I'm not even doing it for the church. I'm not doing it for the pastor. I'm doing this for you, Jesus. I want to jump over. And I promise you, even as I stand here, I feel in aspects of my life, God is saying, Justin, it's time to jump. And so, Father, I thank you. Shabba. Yes, people are coming. That's good. Just, it's you and God. It's got nothing to do with anyone. It's just you preparing yourself. Like how we saw on the video, you taking your place. If you have to jump up and down, just take your place and say, God, I'm positioning myself. But in a moment, I am going to jump all in. I'm not going to think about it. I'm not going to hesitate. In this next moment, I'm just going to jump off and I'm going to trust you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I felt the Lord saying he's going to revive passion this morning. We were talking about revival, but God says, I'm reviving your passion, your love for me, your love for me, your love for me. He says, you are going to fall in love all over again. You're going to renew your love for me. You're going to get into dimensions of love that you have long forgotten. You're going to experience once again what it means to be fully in love with Jesus. So, Father, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus for every person that has responded to this call. Father, I thank you for their boldness. I thank you for their willingness. I thank you, oh God, that they are willing to step onto the edge of this platform and say, God, we are ready to jump over. We are ready to give you our all. And so, Father, that's all you have asked for. You didn't ask for anything more. You said, just give me your all. So, Father, I thank you that today, as they give of their all, you are going to revive their passion. Revive their passion. Revive their passion. Revive their passion. Rekindle a fire in their hearts. A fire for the things of God. A fire for you, Jesus. A passion for you, Jesus. Rekindle it. Rekindle it. Rekindle it. Rekindle it in the mighty name of Jesus. Mighty God, set our hearts on fire again. May we no longer limit you, oh God, in our thoughts. May we no longer limit you in our hearts, in our souls. May we no longer limit you. Father, teach us what it means to love you, to follow you without any reservations. In the mighty name of Jesus, I cut off every limitation, every reservation, every fear. I cut it off in the mighty name of Jesus. And as we are about to jump off, Lord, I pray that you will take us into the deeper things of the Spirit. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Shabababababa. Sokorobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobobob word of the Lord. Whatever God has laid upon your heart to do, whatever you have desired to do for God, you don't need a platform, you don't need somebody to announce you, you don't need somebody to anoint you. God says, I've put it in your heart, go and do it. Passion is restored when we start doing the things that God has put in our hearts to do. Just pick up one of those things and say, God, I'm just going to do this. Don't try and fix your whole life. You cannot. Just say, God, what is it that you want me to add that I've stopped doing? I want to do again. And you will see a new fire for God burn in your heart. For some of you, it's just saying, I wanna be obedient with my morning devotion. No one else even knows that for a long time you have not been reading your Bible. You have lost a desire to actually spend time. You are no longer having quiet moments with God. That is something of the past. And God is saying, for some of you, that's where you just need to start. Pick up your Bible. Read 4 verses. Read 1 verse. Do it. Don't think about it. Just do it. And your passion is going to come back. It's going to come back. For some of you, it's doing something that might be a little bit more obvious for people, because you used to do it in the past. You used to serve in the past. You used to be involved. And God is saying, I want your involvement again. Just do it. Don't wait for your feelings to get you there. Your feelings will catch up. I felt some of you have long forgotten what it means to be in a prayer meeting. And the Lord is saying, maybe for you, and these are not prescriptions for everybody to follow. I'm just saying there's something that God is putting in your heart right now. That's what you need to be obedient about. And that's what you need to do. That's what you need to do. So Father, I thank you for obedient hearts. I thank you for people that have chosen to say, Lord, here we are. Lord, this is what you have required of us. To jump in, and their coming forward is an indication that they're giving you their all. Receive us, all that we are, for all that you are, in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Before you move away, I want to say this to you. Just pull the guitars, the instruments down a little bit at the back, guys. Keep playing. I need you to keep playing. I want to say this to you. This message will be just another message if you don't act. The scripture said, go and do your first works. Go and do. I'm not saying go look for a list of everything you've ever done in the past. Just pick one that the Lord is pressing in your heart and just do that. I promise you, it's like that Mary been telling the disciples, whatever he says, water can turn into wine if you just do what he says. And I know some of you came forward because you're looking for maybe the hand of the pastor, maybe you want somebody to pray with you. No. Just go and do whatever he says. Not what Justin says, whatever he says, just do it. Just do it. It won't make sense to you, but just do it. Just do it. It will be revival for you. That's going to spark a new passion in Jesus' name. Amen.